I want to talk to you this morning on three words to live your life by. Matter of fact, the Bible in two instances gives us three words, and then I want to give you my three words. I don't think you'll find they line up with Scripture as well, but I remember when I was, you know, just 1 year a Christian, I got saved. I realized that God had called me to do something significant for the kingdom. And I was really praying, saying, God, you know, there's some words we ought to live our life by. Wouldn't you agree? Like, here's a word we should all live our life by. We should all live our life by this word called integrity. And I'm really impressed with people with integrity. Aren't you? I mean, I thank God for talent, and I love talent. But when you get talent and integrity together, man, it's a whole lot better than just talent and no integrity. So to me, there's some words that you can live your life by. And I was going, God, give me some words that would be foundational for my life. And can I tell you, these words, I believe, apply for anybody, no matter what you do. For me, it's to be a pastor of a church, but it wasn't then. I was 1 year a Christian. The thought of being a pastor of a church was the furthest thing from my mind when I was 1 year a Christian. When I was 1 year a Christian, here are the things I was thinking. God, help me stay away from drugs and alcohol. God, help me renew my mind. Lord, help me read my Bible. You hear me? But I got to tell you, these words have stayed with me. The Lord said, if you live by these three words, I will bless you no matter what you do. And so if you're in science, if you're in medicine, if you're in business, if you're raising a family, whatever it is you do, if you're a mechanic, if you're an astronaut, if you're in the military, if you're a doctor in the medical world, I want to help you with three words that I believe you can build your life on, that you can live your life by. Sound good? So I'll give you three words in Scripture, two different occasions, and then we're going to look at these three. Who wants to hear what these three words are, by the way? All right, we'll get there in just a sec. Stay with me. Seaboard Road, you're still with us, by the way. I want to make sure we got our Seaboard Road family. We love Seaboard Road. Man, I thank God for what's doing down there. Clayton sent me a statistic this week. I think I got this right. I think it is. Clayton said that if you take the attendance of Seaboard Road over the last 12 months, I think he said it's increased. The 11 a.m. service has increased 51% in the last 12 months. Give the Lord a hand for that. And if I'm wrong, I apologize. Praise the Lord. But I'm pretty sure that's what he told me. So three words we can live our life by. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. It says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Get out of bed. Go to work. Go to college when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. That's what he's saying. See, the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, the pastor of a church here, and what he's saying is he's speaking to Timothy about his vocation. Timothy's vocation was preach the word. So here it is in terms of what would the Apostle Paul say to all the rest of you? Hey, get out of bed, go to work, go to school. When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. I mean, this may shock you, but I don't feel like preaching the word every Sunday. But that's what Paul's saying. He goes, preach the word in season and out of season. When you got a bad back and when you don't have a bad back. When you're on the mountaintop and when you're... Imagine if I preached how I felt every week. Man, that'd be a roller coaster. Be instant, be ready. Come on, can we be real? Don't look at me so shocked. I mean, how many got out of bed today on a morning of, man, I can't wait to get to work today. I'm looking forward to it. Who's ever done that? Go to school. I mean, I'm looking forward to going to college today. How many have ever thought to yourself, dear God, if ever there was a day I didn't feel like going to work, it's today. Can I see your hands? Oh, the rest of you, show us how spiritual you really are and fly around the room. Okay, look what he says. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Now look at these three words. Everybody say correct. Rebuke? No, no, you didn't say rebuke as loud as you did say correct. Everybody say correct. Come on, Seaboard, I want to hear you as well. Rebuke? Oh, that was better. Okay. And encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Here the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, here's your job. You're the pastor of a church. The Apostle Paul, he's everywhere. He's out starting churches. He's carving up new ground. But Timothy, you're there every week, and this is what it's going to look like for you. You've got to be there when you feel like it. When you don't feel like it, you've got to be ready. You've got to have game face on. You've got to have your A game. You got to bring it every week. And this is what I want you to do. When you preach the word, look at it now. He says you're to correct. How many know when it comes to what he's writing to Timothy, he's also writing any pastor of a church today. That part of the responsibility of a pastor of a church when he preaches the word is to bring correction. How many love it when God brings correction? Rebuke. Come on. Hey, there ought to be an element to the preaching the word of God that rebukes certain things. Do you know, I was reading something this week. Sharon told me about the article where with the transgender age and all the rest of it, and people getting, you know, confused about their sexuality and all the rest of it. We're reading an article, and I think there's some things we ought to rebuke. And let me tell you what I will rebuke, and if you don't like it, that's tough. I'm rebuking it. Is a parent of a two-year-old child that decided they didn't want to be a girl, they wanted to be a boy, and the parents are now changing the name of their two-year-old child to the name of a boy. How many know a two-year-old doesn't know what they want? And there ought to be some things we just ought to rebuke. That's ridiculous. People like that need permission to have children. Come on. Really? 2 years old? Correct, rebuke, and encourage. I mean, we all love the encouragement and we all want the encouragement, but there ought to be aspects to the word of God according to what Paul says to Timothy, the pastor of a church. There ought to be an element. I mean, again, I'm just going to keep talking about it. It comes to rebuking. I think we ought to make sure that we're committed to be in the house of God with passion and zeal and fire and enthusiasm. Amen. And not coming in late and filling that section after the song service started, and it's a rebuke. You may not like it, but there's an element of preaching that ought to have a rebuke to it. You could fire a shotgun up there and you wouldn't have hurt anybody at the start of this service. Come on, don't you go. Hey, you don't like it. I'm just doing what Paul told me to do here. He says, come on, there ought to be correction. There ought to be some rebuking. Amen. And there ought to be some encouragement. So we ought to walk out of church more inspired than we walked in. We ought to walk out going, man, head high, shoulders back, and thank God for the word of God. Thank God there was correction. Thank God there's a rebuke. And thank God there's some encouragement to go out the door with. Amen? Yeah, thank you for the underwhelming response. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, when it says about prophecy. And boy, there's a lot I could say about prophecy, but in the context of this, but he that prophesies speaks unto men, and the purpose of it in the New Testament is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Three words to live your life by. Here's one. Listen to it. Correct, rebuke, encourage. Here's another three. Edify, exhort, and comfort. There's some good biblical words by which we're to live our life by. I don't know about you, but I remember back in the day when I was growing up in church, when a prophet came in the town, everybody used to kind of crawl under their seat, just hoping the prophet never prophesied over them. You'd be afraid he'd be calling out your sin. Or anybody remember those days? You know, you'd just be freaking out, you know. And of course, we had a lot of what I call Old Testament prophets that were living in the New Testament who didn't understand the purpose of prophecy in the New Testament. And the prophet's acid test in the New Testament is to edify. Listen to it. To exhort. Come on, someone say amen. That's the acid. And to comfort there, that's the acid test. If you are somebody who's got a prophetic word, and prophetic is not just declaring someone's future, but it's speaking on behalf of the Lord, that if you're going to bring the word of the Lord into somebody's life, it ought to be for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And if it doesn't pass that acid test, you can judge it as not being of God. Can we talk? And so here it is. And so I want to give you my three, because here Paul wrote, and Paul was very intentional in his writing, and he was going, I want to give you some words by which you can live your life by. And the word correct means to clear up or to challenge. That's what correct does, doesn't it? Okay, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. So correct, there ought to be something. How many have ever been corrected by the word of God? Okay, the rest of you, where are you today? How many have been corrected by the word of God? You had a certain way of thinking and someone came along and brought the word of the Lord that was prophetic, and it corrected the way in which you thought about something. Man, I can't tell you, I can't think of a time in my life when I haven't found myself somewhere, somehow being corrected by any time I've been in church. Just maybe in the middle of worship and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just corrects me. Maybe through the preaching, the Holy Spirit corrects me. It's a good thing. Yeah. Because we're better for it. We're bigger for it. We're smarter for it. We're advancing. We're moving forwards, more maturing. We're growing. We're stronger. Amen. And then the word rebuke means to change. It means to change. And the word encourage means to have compassion. And Paul says, with great patience and endurance. So I'll be patient. I'll keep talking about it until it gets better. I heard one preacher, he preached the same sermon. He preached it 1 week and everyone goes, Pastor, that was a great message. Man, I loved that message. The next week he preached the same sermon all over again. And they said, Pastor, that was great, but you know, it was last week you preached the same message. The next week he preached it again. They said, Pastor, you got Alzheimer's? What's going on here? You keep preaching the same message. And the fourth week he preached it again. So finally people got together and says, Pastor, what's going on? You know, we love that message, but you can't preach it 4 weeks in a row. He goes, well, when you start doing that, I'll preach something new. I like that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Cuts back on the sermon preparation. Praise God. That was supposed to be funny, by the way. And so, you know, I'm thinking about my life and, you know, thinking about what prophecy means. Edification means to build up. And we ought to live our life by these words, that we ought to spend our life building people up. I want to leave people better off when I've left them. Not feeling more doomy and more gloomy. I don't want people leaving, you know, I want to leave people feeling encouraged. Amen. So the idea of edification is to build up. The idea of exhortation is to stir up. And the idea of comfort is to cheer up. There ought to be all those things happening in our lives. They're good words to live your life by. Can I give you my three? That the Lord gave me literally now, no kidding you, 32 years ago, and they are still foundational and still absolute. They, in the course of my life and ministry development, I have found myself that if I stay true to these three simple things the Lord's called me to do, the Lord has blessed me. Here they are. Number one, inspire. Can everybody say inspire? Number two, instruct. Everybody say instruct. And number three, impart. Let's just break it down for a minute here. I want to show you 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. Everybody say all scripture. Come on, all scripture. Everything that's in your Bible is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. All scripture is inspired by God. Even Romans chapter 1 teaching us to make sure our body parts line up with our plumbing that line up with how God made us. God does not make a mistake. You are questioning the intention and the origin and the design and the wisdom of the Creator. Come on, let's talk. Amen. I understand we live in a broken world and people are confused and we'll help everybody. But I'm going to tell you something, all scripture is inspired by God. Everything that's in the Word, there's nothing, well, that doesn't count for today. Yeah, all scripture is inspired by God. Amen. Everything. The idea of marriage, all scripture is inspired by God. It doesn't mean everybody lives by the inspiration of scripture, but we who are Christians choose to live our life in alignment with the Word of God, and not just some of it that suits us. I mean, I know people who can take the Word of God and try and show you reincarnation. It's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, but you can twist the Bible to make it sound like it is, and this is how they do it. They say, well, the Bible says that John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah. Here is John the Baptist, and all he is reincarnated from Elijah. No. It says he had the spirit of Elijah. It doesn't say he was reincarnated, but you can actually take things and actually put a modern-day twist to it and use the Bible, but that doesn't mean it's right. Come on, someone say amen. So all scripture is inspired by God, useful to teach us, and says here, and so I just think about this. Our lives ought to be a source of inspiration. There ought to be something inspiring about our lives. We got to make sure that we are having the right kind of influence on other people. Jesus was magnetic, wasn't he? Everywhere Jesus went, the Bible says crowds followed him. The Apostle Paul was an inspirational leader, don't you think? I mean, think about the Apostle Paul. I mean, here he is. He is a prisoner on a ship, And if you want to talk about a pecking order of who's in charge, the Apostle Paul isn't. He's a prisoner, chained to a soldier, being brought before Caesar to stand trial. How many know the brother has got no natural influence in this situation? But here he is, the Apostle Paul, who knows the Word of God, who proclaims the Word of God. And now, in the moment of being shipwrecked, all the sailors listen to him, a prisoner. Sailors, learned seamen, who are now looking to a prisoner how to get out of this situation. The soldiers on the boat did what the Apostle Paul said. That's one inspiring brother that in an environment where he's got no rank or authority, his influence isn't based on title or position. There's just something about that man that people say, we're following you. Man, I find that inspiring, don't you? And you know, you think about that. You think about, you know, in terms of his influence before political leaders. The Apostle Paul was an inspiring. He wrote most of the New Testament. And here's the thought. You can't give what you don't have. You see, if we want to be inspiring, we must first be inspired. You can't be inspiring of other people if you yourself are not inspired. Amen? So here's the question. Are you inspired? What inspires you? Man, I love it when I see, you know, somebody achieve something. I love watching the Olympics, and I love it when they get up on the stadium and they get the gold medal and the national anthem of their country's being played. I don't care, to tell you the truth. I just love it when you see them. I don't care what country it is, but when you see them standing up there singing their national anthem, I love that kind of pride. I love that, don't you? It's inspiring, but let me tell you something. The Word of God is the greatest source of inspiration for any believer. And I want to encourage us. Come on, if we're going to be inspiring people, we got to be people of the Word of God. Look what the Bible says here. You know, it says here in Luke 24, this is Jesus, and he's died and he's resurrected, but the disciples don't know he's resurrected, and they're all confused. They're all depressed, and they're walking along the Emmaus Road. They don't know what to do. They've devoted the last 3.5 years of their life following after Jesus. They've now been identified with the man that was crucified. They realize their future's not looking too bright. Jesus is dead. What do they do now? If they go back to maybe what they were before, they'll still be known as identified as followers of Christ and be targets. What do we do? Where do we go? And so these disciples are walking on the Emmaus Road, and then Jesus, having risen from the dead, stands beside them and starts walking with them, but he changes his physical appearance so they don't know it's him. Don't you love Jesus? Even sometimes thought to yourself, God, where are you? And didn't realize the Lord was right there beside you. You just didn't recognize him. Come on. Now, how did they know ultimately it was the Lord? How do they know it? Look what the Bible says, Luke 24. And it came to pass, he sat and met with them. And he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to him. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And then he vanished out of their sight. So here's finally, hey, I'm going to let you know it's me. It's the Lord. Here I am. Oh, it's Jesus. See ya. Bang. And he vanishes. So now they're reflecting on the moments while they walked with this stranger that they didn't realize it was the Lord. And look what they say. It says, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the way and he opened to us the scriptures? Hey, how did they know it was the Lord? They were reflecting on Jesus, even though they didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus was talking about the scriptures and their hearts burned within them. There was something that was causing them to recognize God is here. Something's going on in their hearts. And I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart, whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you want to be somebody who's inspired by the Word of God, and you can be just like Jesus. They don't know who they're walking with, but you can burn their hearts. You can touch their hearts if you're inspired by the Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by God. Everything that's in the Bible. I pray today I'm creating an appetite for some of you to get to know the Word better. Amen. Because you can only be inspired by how much Word you know. Amen. And look what it says here in John chapter 7. And it says, and many people believed in him.
And when Christ comes, he will do more miracles than what man has done. And the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning Christ. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. They sent some soldiers to arrest Jesus. And look what the Bible says in verse 45. Then the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees. And they said, well, why haven't you brought him? And the officers answered, well, brought who? Jesus, we sent you to arrest Jesus. And they go, oh, never a man spoke like this man. And they answered them, then they answered them to the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Don't tell me you believe in this guy as well. They were sent to arrest Jesus, but they heard Jesus speak, and then they were arrested by Jesus. There ought to be something inspiring about our lives. When we speak, we ought not to speak as mere mortal beings. But if we have the Word of God inside of us, can I tell you, you can be just like the Lord standing beside somebody. They don't know it's God in you. They don't know it's the Word in you. But there's something touching their heart that brings the presence of God. You never know what seed you can sow in someone's life. Just a word in season. Come on, someone say amen. And you know, I love to talk about this man. He's one of my favorite in the Bible. His name's Obed-Edom, but the Bible talks about Obed-Edom and the Ark of the Covenant. See, it's the Word of God and the presence of God that brings inspiration. Right. And Obed-Edom, the Bible says, had the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, in his house for 3 months, and everything that Obed-Edom had was blessed. It says the Lord blessed everything he had and his household. I want you to understand, everything he had, everything he had. He had a wife. The Lord blessed his wife. He had a sex life. No, I'm telling you, everything. You look it up, and honestly, this is what the scripture is actually indicating, that everything that man had was better because of the presence of God. Don't look at me so shocked. God is into sex. He made us. And I'm telling you, he knew what it was like before, but he knew what it was like once the presence of God came. It was better. The Lord blessed everything he had. He had stock. And I'm telling you, his animals were giving birth to the greatest livestock he'd ever seen. Even the animals were reproducing better. He had crops and vegetables. And I'm telling you, he had the best crops and the best harvest, all because of the presence of God. And Obed-Edom, I don't have time to show you all the verses. I did this a few weeks ago on a Sunday night. But Obed-Edom, literally, when the Ark of the Covenant went into Jerusalem, Obed-Edom moved house. Can I tell you something? There's nothing more inspiring than the house of God. There's nothing more inspiring than the Word of God. And I want to encourage everybody here. Let's understand that the greatest source of inspiration comes by being in God's house. And Obed-Edom moved to the house of God. He became a musician in the house of God just so he could be around the presence of God. He became an associate minister just so he could be around the presence of God. He became a doorkeeper. He became a gatekeeper. He did everything. He moved his whole life and his whole family just because of the presence of God. Can I encourage us here? Come on, if we want to be an inspiration to others, we ourselves must first be inspired. There's nothing more inspiring than the Word of God and the presence of God. We need the house of God and we need to hear the Word of God. Amen? Come on, give the Lord a hand if you believe it. And look now, everybody say inspire. Everybody say now, here's the next word. Watch this. It says not only are we inspired, but here's the thing God gave me is to instruct our lives or to bring instruction. And I think the greatest instruction is our personal example. It's not going to say, hey, you sit down, take out pen and paper, and I will teach you how to live your life. No. Our personal example is the greatest thing there is. Amen. C.S. Lewis said this, we must by all means preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. I love that, don't you? There was one time this preacher was preaching on integrity and he was talking about how you've got to be honest and, you know, if someone gives you too much change, you've got to be honest and say, hey, sorry, you gave me too much change. So that preacher the next day got on a bus. He didn't recognize the bus driver, but the bus driver gave him too much change. The preacher went to his seat and looked and he realized that the bus driver, he gave the bus driver a $5 note, but the bus driver gave him change for a $50. And so, you know, I guess what some Christians could have done, praise the Lord. The Lord's blessing me. It's because I'm tithing. This man went back to the bus driver. He says, excuse me, sir. He goes, I gave you a $5 note. You give me change for a $50. And the bus driver says, yeah, I know. I was in your service last night. I just want to see if you practice what you preach. dang. For me, I'm not going to tell people how to live. But I do pray that my life is inspirational enough that people would look for wisdom how to live a life. And hopefully it's by my example. Amen. And we teach our kids, don't lie. Then somebody rings the house that we don't want to talk to. Tell them I'm not home. Come on. Amen. And so instruction. I believe there will be something about our lives. And for me, I've just dedicated these three simple words to my life. And this is what that looks like. Because God's called me to be a communicator. That's kind of what I do. That's what the Lord's called me to be a communicator of His word. So because of that, I've studied a lot on communication. And I basically can bring it down to, in my thoughts, there are three types of communicators in the world. Here's the first one. It's the content communicator. Now, the content communicator, when they open the Bible and they just read a verse from the Bible, you walk out of church going, I've read that same verse 100 times and never got out of the knowledge or the depth that that person gave. Anybody know that kind of person? You walk out, man, I've read, how do they get all that? Now, the content communicator has to be careful because their methodology and their priority is the accuracy and the dissecting of the Word of God rightly. So they can be a little bit dry in the delivery because they're so interested into being accurate and right. They don't necessarily put as much effort and attention into how it's being delivered as much as what is being delivered. You hear me here? But, you know, you walk out of church going, man, I've read that verse. I never knew that. Now, then there's a style communicator. Now, the style communicator may not necessarily have the focus of the content communicator, but when you walk out of church after a style communicator, because they're interested in how it's being delivered, because they understand that when you're preaching the Word of God or communicating on any level, that actually it's communication of truth by man to man. It addresses the personality of the person who's speaking and it addresses the personality of the people to whom it's being addressed to. So they work and they concentrate primarily. And everybody who's a good communicator primarily has a strength in one of these, but over a period of time, you learn to get good in all three. You hear me here? And so you walk out of church with a style communicator and you walk and go, man, am I inspired? What about? I don't know, but I'm inspired. And then there's the relational communicator. Now, the relational communicator is the kind of person when they get up, you just so relate to them. You feel so safe. Man, that person knows me. I connect with that person on a very personal, real, tangible way. Now, like I said, when you've been doing this for a while, you learn how to get good at all three. But I think about Sharon as being the greatest example of being the relational communicator, isn't she? She gets up and she just goes, hi, church. Everyone goes, hi. And people just feel so safe and so connected and so warm. And Sharon is not just good on the relational. I mean, she's got content. She's got a style that's uniquely hers, and I love it. But here's the thing, a good learner can learn from all three. Amen? And we've got to be people who are good learners. Sometimes people say, oh, I don't go to that church because I don't get deep teaching in that church. And I always think the people who say that, to me, are the most unteachable people of them all. Because what you're actually saying is whatever God gave this person to preach by the Holy Spirit for this congregation of which you were a part of, you're saying that it doesn't meet your spiritual needs. So what you're actually saying is you can't teach me. So in your pursuit of being taught, you have become unteachable. And let me show you what the Bible says this should look like, by the way. It says in Psalm 8 verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained strength because of thine enemies that we might still the enemy and the avenger. Do you know what God's saying? You can learn from a child. Out of the lips of infants, God can bring strength into your life. And I pray for everybody here that we are people who are teachable. If we're going to be in giving instruction into other people's lives by example, we must be teachable. You can learn from everybody. One of the great things, Ed Young, I think one of the great strengths of Ed Young's life is the brother asked anybody and everybody a million questions. And I tell you, I get inspired by Ed Young just realizing everybody can teach you something. Everybody's life has got something that can bring wisdom into your life, but you've got to be teachable. You can't get to a place where you think you've arrived. Look at Proverbs 13. It says, whoever disregards discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. I thank God for some of the greatest teaching moments in my life have been the most uncomfortable moments. When someone has said something to me that I needed to hear, and if I didn't have a teachable spirit, I could have blown it off. And I could have missed out on something that I really needed to hear. Come on, someone say amen. There you go. Proverbs 9 verse 9. Instruct the wise and they will grow wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. So here's the question I'm asking you. Who are you teaching? And I believe when it comes to instruction, it always starts at home. I mean, you might be the dad in your house and you might say, I'm the head of my family. Amen. You are the head of your family. No doubt about it. And you might say, I expect that my kids will obey me. Amen. And I think the Bible does say that your children should obey you. But it also says, parents, do not exasperate your children. And we got to live in all scripture, not just the ones that we want to underline because we like them. And so, amen. And you know, you might say, well, you know, I'm the head of my house and I'll make the decisions. Amen. You do. But then you come to church and maybe the pastor asks you to get to church on time. Maybe an usher asks you, do you mind not sitting there? We haven't opened that section yet. Would you mind sitting here? And you go, I'm going to sit anywhere I want to. Well, hey, you're teaching your wife and your kids to obey, but you don't obey. Come on, someone say amen. And so, are we teachable? And I want to encourage everybody, let's have a teachable spirit. Because I believe these are words you can live your life by. And I'm telling you, in my life, even critics. I heard someone say once about Wave Church that there are five places on our homepage that we ask for money. And I went, well, if that's true, that's ridiculous. And I looked it up and there wasn't five, there was three. It was like, if you want to give online, there was a connect button. And if you want to know what your giving statement was, and I went, you know, that's probably too many places on the homepage. So even your critics sometimes can help you. Amen. If you just have a teachable spirit, not, you know, and even people who are being negative, if you just open, can help you be a better person. Come on, turn to the person next to you and say, relax, he's talking to me, not you. It's all good. And here's the last one, and my time is gone, but let me just give it to you real quick. Everybody say, imparts. And this one's big. This one's really important. I believe with all my heart that we ought to live a life where we're imparting into others. I believe there ought to be something inspirational about our lives. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. There ought to be something when we leave people, man, they just go, I just feel bigger and better. I feel like I can do more. That ought to be the influence we have as Christians. Amen. Amen. To encourage people to dream big dreams. There ought to be something about our lives that there's just example that people go, you know, that's the kind of life I want to live. And it's not by what we say, it's by how we live, where they want the wisdom and the instruction because they see it working in our lives. Right. But then there ought to be something more than just that. There ought to be an impartation. Yeah. Yeah. You say, what's that look like? I got a few verses. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. He says, for I long to see you. This is Paul writing to the Roman church. That I might impart spiritual gifts to you so that you may be established. Paul's writing to the Roman church, to believers. And he's going, hey, I want to get around you because I want to lay hands on you that I can impart spiritual gifts so that you might be established. Hey, you can't give what you don't have. So you've got to put yourself in a house where people can lay hands on you. And if you are in that environment, listen to it, you'll be established. Your life will be more stable, stronger. And it's Paul saying, without that impartation, there's not an establishment. So there's something of an impartation, but we can't give what we don't have. Amen? And so the laying on of hands is to impart spiritual gifts. We ought to believe for this stuff. We don't be in the house of God, but come on, somebody pray with me. Somebody believe with me. Come on, I need what you have. Would you lay hands on me? I want an impartation. I want what you have. Here's another scripture, Luke 4, verse 40. It says, when the sun was setting, all those who were sick and various diseases, they brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and they were healed. Hey, you can lay hands. Now, this is not just for the pastors. This is for you. That you can lay hands on sick people and they can be healed. Don't just bring them to church for the pastor to pray for them. You pray for them. You can't give what you don't have, but Paul says, I want to lay hands on you to give you spiritual gifts. And one of them is just to pray for the sick. Who would love to see more sick people healed? Okay, here's how you do it. You ready? Pray for more sick people. Now, come up here, Will. I'm not saying that when you lay hands on somebody, you've got to go all crazy and spooky. You don't have to go all Benny Hinn. I like Benny Hinn, but that works for Benny. It doesn't work for me. Don't touch me, honey. We'll both go down. Okay? You don't have to go, oh, lift your hands. Come on, lift your hands. I'm going to pray. I'm going to, oh. No, no. Laying on of hands can be as simple as this. Hey, man. At work, someone tells you they're sick. Can I just love to pray for you. Would that be okay? And it's just simple as that. What are you doing? You're laying hands on somebody. Would you mind if I prayed for you? It's not like, you mean? Yeah, maybe preachers do that. Maybe that works for preachers, but maybe it doesn't work for you. It's okay. Just, you've got something of the residue of God in you. And if you can just touch them. Come on, just touch them. I just want to pray. This guy who is still alive and on life support. As soon as we heard it, we sent some of our pastors and I said, listen, I want you to go and I just want you to go lay hands on them. Just believe for an impartation. Believe that gifts can be given. Believe for a gift of healing. And if nothing else happens, you cared. You showed, but you don't have to go all crazy. You don't have to go all Pentecostal. You don't have to pray in the spirit for 30 minutes and freak everybody out in the hospital. Amen. Come on. Just and impart something. I did in this morning service, as I was doing that, I actually honestly felt like I was imparting something into Will about his future and his leadership and his gift and just the quality of his preaching, which is already phenomenal. But I believe this is the new day for you, Will. I believe this is going to be the best year of your ministry development ever. In the name, the favor that God's going to give you at principals and schools and teachers. Amen. You wait and see. And here I am again. Well, where's that? Just laying here. It can be just as simple as that. Give Will a hand. Come on. Acts 8, verse 17. They laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Hey, I believe in this. I believe in it. You can't give what you don't have. Amen. Some people don't want what we have because the way we demonstrate it, we lack wisdom. I don't want that. No, no. Let's live a life that's so desirable. People say, what is it? I want that. What is that? Hey, it's the Holy Spirit. Would you like it? Here, let me pray for you. Amen. Don't just always bring them to church. We'll always pray for people in church to receive the Holy Spirit. We'll always pray for people in church to be healed. But why don't you see, I loved it. I heard about Regent University, Jordan Brown, one of the Connect Group leaders of our young adults. And I heard a revival broke out at Regent University Camp Connect Group where people were filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God was falling. Man, I love that. I love that. Some of you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Am I a lesser Christian if I don't have it? No, 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 no. You're not lesser a Christian. But can I tell you, there's something that Paul says, I want to lay hands on you that you might receive spiritual gifts, that you might be established. It's a deepening. It's a strengthening. Amen. Is this helping anybody? I love this. Watch this one. Do not neglect the gift that was given to you, which was given to you for prophecy and for the laying on of hands of eldership. Can I encourage you? Be in a place where people can and will and do lay hands on you. Yeah. Through prophecy, don't neglect the gift. Gifts were given through the prophetic word. I believe Will just received a gift from God through that prophetic word. Okay, it's given and it's through the laying on of hands. Don't neglect. There's gifts that God gave some of you that have been sitting dormant. Maybe it's in art. Maybe the Lord's called you to be a painter and you've neglected that gift. And Paul says, come on, don't neglect that gift. I don't know what that gift is the Lord gave you, but whatever the Lord gave you, it's a gift from God and don't neglect it. That was given to you. Maybe it's in song. Maybe it's maybe you're a musician. I don't know what it is, but the Lord knows what it is. Come on. And he's saying, come on, don't neglect that gift. Come on, it was given to you for the prophetic word. and you've let it sit down. You've got, and I have to as a pastor. Can I tell you, this is a large church and a large organization. There's a lot of stuff that I have to be very involved with. A lot of things, I thank God Josh Kickett gives a lot of attention to it. But it's still a lot of things come back to me as senior pastor. You with me? And sometimes I have to be careful. I don't get so busy doing all the stuff that I don't neglect the gift that was given to me. Laying hands on people. I believe in it. I believe in it. I believe in impartation. We can deposit something of God into people. Come on. And then look what Paul says. Last scripture and I'm done. Look what he says. 2 Timothy 1. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that was given to you for the laying on of my hands. Hey, in other words, sometimes you've neglected it and sometimes you just got to stir it up. Come on. I want to stir up some gifts in people here today. Come on. God gave you a gift. Come on. Stir that gift up. Use that gift. Bring it to your work. Bring it to your neighborhood. Use the gift that God gave you. Don't let it sit dormant. And I pray that God's word is burning in you today. It's lighting a fire. Come on, use it. Whatever it is, use it for the glory of God. If it's a good business mind, come on, use it. Amen. You got something to bring. You got something to add value into people's lives. Come on. Come on. Joseph had everything work against him, but he didn't neglect the gift of the dream, the prophetic word that he'd be a leader. Everything in life was opposing the reality of that dream, but he didn't let go of it. He hung on to it. I just believe with all my heart, there are people who need to hear this. Some of you, you've been in Wave Church, you've been coming here long enough. It's about time you started using the gift that God gave you in the house of God. Come on, get off your blessed assurance and get moving now. Come on, God gave you a gift. I don't know what the gift is. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's mercy. Maybe it's hospitality. Maybe it's a mechanic of a bus. Maybe it's flying for Wave Aviation. I don't know. Maybe it's building construction. Come on, use the gift. God gave you the gift. Use it to further His kingdom. Amen. Maybe it's giving. That's a good gift. Who likes the gift of giving? Amen. Praise the Lord. Be good at it. Stir it up. Well, last time I gave, it didn't go down that well. I don't like what happened. No. Come on. That was the Lord gave you that gift. Stir it up now. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. I just looked at somebody and they had their eyes closed and they were asleep. Obviously, that's very inspiring preaching for them. I'm not going to look in that direction right now because it was discouraging. Praise the Lord. Come on, can I stir you up today? Can I stir you up today? Amen. Hey, be instant, in season and out of season. Trust me, when I got on the stage, I didn't feel like preaching. But I'm instant, I'm in season, I'm out of season. Amen. And some of the best miracles, some of the best times is in your weakness, His power is made perfect. Amen. You can talk yourself out of serving God. You can talk yourself into serving God. You can talk yourself into going to church. You can talk yourself out of going to church. You can talk yourself into leadership. You can talk yourself out of leadership. You can talk yourself into a healing. You can talk yourself out of a healing. Well, let me tell you my story, Pastor. I had a bad church experience. Yeah, so have I. Come on, move on. Come on, let the Lord heal you. Maybe it's healing that you need today. Look at me now as I close. My time is up.